Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Chaf Aleph. Daf Chaf Aleph we left off, and daf Chaf Amid Beis. We got pretty much to the end of the page. We are four lines before the end of the page at the two dots. We got all the way down there. We already discussed Shlomo HaMelech and how his malchus was diminished toward the end of his life, and the question of whether it was ever he ever regained his former status or did not regain his former status. We are up to Poritz Lasos Lo Derech. The Mishnah said that a king is allowed to break through someone's property in order to make a road for himself. So Tanu Rabban, we have a brisa. Otsos Melachim LeMelech. The storehouses, the warehouses, the treasures of the king go to the king. Meaning, when Israel attacks another country or is in a war with another country, and we win, so the otros of the defeated country's king goes to the Melech Yisrael. Vishar biza shabozazin, all the rest of the spoils that they get from the war, mechtsa lemelech u mechtsa la'am, get split 50-50 between the king and everybody else. I understand very well why the king takes the defeated king's treasures. That's the normal standard practice. That's par for the course. But where do we ever find that we have such a din that when you take all of the other spoils of the people in the country, that half of that goes to the king as well? Because the pasuk says, and Makish Nagid Tzadok, there's a hekish between Nagid and Tzadok. Mat Tzadok Mechtzalo Mechtzala Achiv, Af Nagid Mechtzalo Mechtzala Achiv. Just like Tzadok, Kohen gets half for him and half for his brothers, so too, the king also is Mechtzalo Mechtzala Achiv. Tzadok Gufay Min Alon. How do I know that this is true about Tzadok, that it's half and half? Titani Rabbi Yom Vahaisala Aaron Ulabanav. Because it says Vahaisala Aaron Ulabanav. What's the passage talking about? It says Vahaisala Aaron Ulabanav Vachaluhu Bimakum Kadosh, Ki Kodesh Kadashim Hu Lo Meyishe Hashem Chak Olam. So the pasuk tells us that when it says that it's split between Aaron and Banav, the assumption is that it's Mechzala Aaron, Mechzala Banav, that it's half for Aaron, half for the half for his children, and the reference is to the Lechem Apanim. Lechem Apanim goes half to Aaron, half to his children. So just like the division between the Kohen Gadol and everybody else is going to be half-half, so to the division between the king and everybody else in something much bigger than the Lechem Apanim in terms of quantity, in terms of the spoils that they get from war, goes half to the king and half to everybody else. New Mishnah. Lo yarba lo nashim, going weiter in the laws of a king is not allowed to have too many wives. Ela shmona esrei, all he's allowed to have is 18 wives, no more than 18. Rabbi Yehuda omer, marbu hu lo, ubvach lo yemasirus azlibo. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can have more than that, as long as these are not the type of wives that will lead him astray. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afilu achasu masira esliba hareza lo yisena. Rabbi Shimon says, no, even if there's one bad wife, he can't marry her. Even if it's just one wife who's going to lead him astray, the king shouldn't marry her. Im kein lamin emer lo yarba lo nashim, what's the pasuk telling me when it tells me not to have too many wives? Dafilu kavigail, that he could have wives who are the greatest nashim tzidkanios in the whole world, he still shouldn't have more than 18 of them. Once he has more than 18 of them, that's still an issur daraisa. So even if they're not going to be Meser Eslibo, why would the Gemara think that? Why would the Mishnah think it has anything to do with being Meser Eslibo? That what does one have to do with the other? What does getting married have to do with being Meser Eslibo? So it says it in the pasuk that says Lo Yarba Lo Nashim. We're going to see the Gemara is going to dash in. The pasuk says Velo Yarba Lo Nashim Velo Yasur Levavo. Right there. You can't be marbe nashim v'lo yasur levavav. The chesav v'zav lo yarbe lo ma'od. You also can't have too much chesav v'zav. It's dvarim yud zayin, pasuk yud zayin. So that's where we're trying to connect. We're trying to figure out exactly what the connection is between the isra to have many wives and the isra of being masir levavo. Lemeimra d'Rabbi Yehuda darsh time to krav Rabbi Shimon lo darsh time to krav. Wait a second, says the Gemara. If you look at our Mishnah, it seems that Rabbi Yehuda is one that's doresh time to krav, because Rabbi Yehuda says he can have many wives as long as they're not masir. Libo, as long as they don't lead him astray. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda looks at the pasuk, says, ah, why is the king not allowed to have many wives? Because we're afraid they're going to lead him astray. Well, if you know that they're nashim tzidkanios, they're not going to lead you astray, therefore the halacha won't apply. So you see Rabbi Yehuda's Dorish type of Dekra, and Rabbi Shimon is the one who says, no, even if there's one that's Meser Slavavo, it's a problem. Lo Yarba Lo Nashim is even if they're not going to lead him astray, even if they're the greatest Nashim Tzidkanios in the whole world, still you can't marry them. So you see Rabbi Shimon apparently is not Dorish type of Dekra, which seems backwards, because we've learned the exact opposite. The Tanya, we have a Braisa, Almana, when you have an almana, bein shehi aniya, bein shehi ashira, whether she's poor or whether she's rich, ein memashkin anasa. You don't take a mashkon from an almana. Shenemar, pasuk says lo sachbal beged almana. Pasuk says that you're not supposed to take the as a beged of an almana as a mashkon. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So regardless, poor, rich doesn't make a difference. Don't take her beged as a mashkon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ashira memashkinosa, aniya ein memashkinosa. Rabbi Shimon says, well, it depends. If she's well-to-do, so then you could take a mashkon from her. If she's a poor almana, you don't take a mashkon from her. Because you're going to have to give it back to her, and it's going to give her a bad reputation in the neighborhood. What's that about? So we explain, what's that talking about? What he means to say is as follows: Mitoch she'atam mimashkina. If you take a mashkon from an almana, atachayv lahachzila, you're going to have to return it. And that's going to give her a bad reputation. Why? Because every single day people are going to see, what does it mean you're going to have to return her? She's a nebuch and almana. She has one pair of pajamas and one pair of daytime clothing. So what are you going to take as a mashkon? You're going to take the clothing that she's not wearing. But every night you're going to have to come back and return her pajamas, and every morning you're going to have to come back and take the pajamas back and return the daytime clothing. So you're always going to be going in and out of the house at the beginning of the night and at the end of the night, and everyone's going to start to talk about what's going on in that house. So Alma, so what do you see from there? That Rabbi Yehuda's low darish time in the crowd, Rabbi Shimon is darish time in the crowd, because Rabbi Shimon says that there's a difference between an ashira and an aniya. Rabbi Shimon says that if she's rich, she's got several sets of clothing. You don't have to worry. You're not going to come returning it to her, and therefore there's no need to worry that it's going to be Masiya Shem Rabbi Shechenu Seha. So it's no problem to take a mashkon from an almana ashira. And Rabbi Yehuda says, don't give me reasons. Don't tell me the reasons of the pasuk. Pasuk says you're not allowed to take a beged almana. That's all I know. And therefore, I don't care if she's a niya ashira. I don't need to know reasons. So you see the exact opposite. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's not interested in the reasons. Rabbi Shimon is the one who thinks that the halacha is altered by the reasons. We have to be clear that when we have a discussion of whether dashin in time of the krah, lo dashin in time of the krah, the machlokas is not whether there is a reason. The machlokas is whether we can assume we know the only reason and therefore change the halacha based on what we assume the reason to be. We do. Everyone assumes that there are reasons. It's just a question of, and pretty much everyone assumes that we are capable, and it's not a bad idea to try to figure out reasons. Sefer HaChinuch writes by every single mitzvah what the possible reason is for the mitzvah. Why does he do it? So he writes in his Akdama, I'm not doing it to tell you that this is the only reason, or even the real reason. I'm doing it because very often when you're able to give a reason for a mitzvah, it makes it a lot easier to handle, makes it much easier to be committed to the mitzvah when you have some appreciation of the reason for the mitzvah. But certainly everyone should realize that whatever reason we give and we offer for a mitzvah is not going to be the only reason, that the Chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not something that we can readily understand, and we certainly can't understand the depths of it. But at least a little bit, to give a little bit of tam, right? The Lashon of tam doesn't only mean reason, it means taste. It gives a little bit of flavor, a little bit of flavor to the mitzvah when we have a reason. That's why the Rambam, Mor Nevuchim, also focuses on reasons. But again, that's unrelated to this machlokas of Darshin and Taimin Tukra, lo Darshin and Taimin Tukra. Darshin and Taimin Tukra is whether the reasons will make a difference in the halacha. That's the machlokas. So we have a stira in the shittas of Rabbi Shimon and the shittas of Rabbi Yehuda. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Alma, Rabbi Yehuda, lo Darsh Taimin Tukra. Really, as a general rule, Rabbi Yehuda is not interested in the reasons in terms of affecting the halacha. Vishaini hacha, but over here, why is he Darish Taimin Tukra in our Mishnah, where he says that it's only the kinds of wives that are going to be mesos levavah that are going to be a problem, the mefarish time of the kra, because the pasuk itself gives the reason. Matam lo yarbalo nashim mishum de lo yasru levavah. Very same pasuk, very next word, explains the reason why you can't be marba nashim. So he says, when the pasuk gives the reason, it's not, why am I generally not dorish time of the kra? Because how do I know the reason that I'm going to give is the real and only reason for the mitzvah in the Torah? But when the Torah tells you the reason, when the Torah tells you exactly what the reason for the din is, so then that's that's an indication that the reason is binding. It's very similar to what Rav Shechter always says over about Gzeros Midrabanan. We always have a concept, Rambam Paskins in the second parak of Hilchos Mamrim, that if a Gzero or Takana is made by a Beis Din, another Beis Din can't be Mevatel that Gzero Takana unless the Gadol Mena B'Chachma B'Minyan. So we're stuck with a lot of Gzeros, even though the time of those Gzeros no longer applies. Whatever, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, whatever it might be, the time may not apply, and we're still doing those Gzeros, because you're not allowed to undo a Gzera. So why is it that by some Gzeros we do undo the Gzera when the time no longer applies? So Rav Shechter explained, think of the name of Mishkanos Yaakov, that there's a chilek between Dinim de Rabbanan, where the Rabbanan included the language of the din in the actual, the Rabbanan included the reason for the din in the language of the din, that don't do this Shema, that it's going to come to this, and Dinim de Rabbanan where the din was formulated independent of the reason. Now in all Dinim de Rabbanan there are reasons for them. Question is the reason something that was formulated outside of the din, or was it formulated together with the din? Where do we ever find that there's such a chilek? So called the Tikkun Rabban Ken Daraisa Tiknu, you find such a chilek on a Daraisa level, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda holds when the reason is formulated as part of the pasuk, so then you're going to say that we're Darshin in time of Dekra, that if the reason no longer applies, the din's no longer going to apply. But when the reason is just something that's external to the pasuk, it may be true and it may be right, but it's not in the pasuk itself, so then we're going to say that the din is going to be binding whether the reason applies or not. For Rabbi Shimon Amar Lachan, Rabbi Shimon would tell you, Michti. He'll say, well, let's analyze for a second. Again, Rabbi Shimon, who, when it came to the king and his wives, was not Dorish Taim Dekra, but when it came to the Almana and her Beged, was Dorish Taim Dekra, so he'll say, Michti, let's analyze. As a rule, Rabbi Shimon will say, I am Dorish Taim Dekra. I think that we can figure out the reasons for Dinim and change the Dinim based on whether the reasons apply or not. Im kein lichtov kra lo yarba lo nashim v'lishtok. So then why doesn't the pasuk just say lo yarba lo nashim and stop right there? Why does the pasuk have to then add in, oh, lo yarba lo nashim, and you should know, v'lo yasur levavo. Vana amina, I'll figure it on my own. Matam lo yarba, why shouldn't you have too many wives? Obviously, mishum de lo yasur. Obviously, it's because why having too many wives could lead his heart astray. Lo yasur lamali, why do I need a separate pasuk tell me lo yasur levavo, or a separate phrase in the pasuk tell me lo yasur levavo? Afilu achas maseriously ba'arezu lo yisa'en. It's a special riboy in the pasuk to tell me that even if it's only one wife, but she's meser slavavo, she turns his heart astray, he should not marry her. Elamani mekayim lo yarbe. So what do I learn from the pasuk of lo yarbe? Dafilu kavigayil, that you can't be marbe nashim no matter how great they are, even if they're all nashim tzidkanios like avigayil. Now the going back a little bit, the idea of taking the mashkon from the wealthy or from the poor woman, so the Sma writes in Shulchan Aruch that whether it's an almana, it's not only a din of an almana. Taking a mashkon, let's say you're not allowed to take a mashkon, let's say from an aniya, from an almana who's an aniya for sure, and a machlokas whether an almana that's an ashira also. Is that only a din in almana, or is that a din in any woman that you're going to be going to her house all the time, she doesn't have a husband? So the Sma writes, bein balmana, bein begrusha, you can't take a mashkon from her. He says, a basula you can, because she's still berushas avia, she's still living with her father, and therefore it's not going to look so suspicious if it's, you're going to her father's house. However, the Shach writes that by a grusha you can take a mashkon. Because he says the whole reason named mashkon es almana is not only because of Masiya Shem Rabbi Shechenu Seha, that you're going to cause her, give her a bad name in the neighborhood. So what if you give her a bad name? What is and then what? So he says, no, the problem is that it's going to be mitzayir her, that getting the bad reputation is going to be a tzar, and having to give up the mashkon every day is going to be a tzar. And there are special isurim about being mitzayir in almana, that you can't cause tzar to an almana. But by a grusha, there's no such isur. Now, there is a general isur of not causing tzar to other Jews, to other people. So that's true. But generally, taking a mashkon is not considered a violation of that issue, because that's standard business practice. You're allowed to do standard business practice, right? It's a tzar to make someone who owes me money pay them back, pay me back also. But that's, I'm allowed to have them pay me back. That's standard business practice. But by an almana, we have a heightened level of sensitivity. The Taz writes that whether it's an almana or even a basula or a grusha, so three shitos, who this din applies to. Again, the Sma says an almana and a grusha, yes, basula, no. Shach says only almana. Taz says, Almana, Besula, and Grusha, all of them you can't take a mashkon. Because the reason is, Mishum Znos, it's going to be Messiah Hashem Rabbi Shechenu Seha. He thinks by a Besula and a Grusha, you also have this reason, Mishum Znos of Messiah Hashem Rabbi Shechenu Seha. And then the Urim V'tumim, Rabbi Yonah Sinaipsha says, no, it only applies to an Almana because of her tsar. The Torah is chas on the tsar of an Almana, and Chalila to be mosif on the Dine Torah. If the Dine Torah tell you that the Yisra applies to an Almana, that's exactly who it applies to, nobody else. What about this din of Dashin and time of the crowd? What are we paskin? We have this machlokas, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. It seems like Rabbi Shimon as a rule holds yes Dashin and time of the crowd. Rabbi Yehuda as a rule holds no Dashin and time of the crowd. The Rambam paskins in Hilchos Mavul V'lova Paragimel Halacha Aleph that an almana bein aniya bein ashira mimashkin inosa. That an almana, whether she's an aniya or an ashira, he says that there's no difference. He passes like Rabbi Yehuda, who's not doresh time of the crow. He's not interested in the reasons. The pasuk says you're not allowed to take a mashkin from an almana. The Rambam says you don't take a mashkin from an almana. I don't care if she's an aniya or if she's an ashira. The Mefarshim all ask on the Rambam that the Rambam paskins that the isra of Bia with a guy applies to all the nations, not only the Shiva Umos. Now, what's the Svara that it should apply to all the nations, not only to the Shiva Umos? The Torah only tells us about the Shiva Umos because he's assuming, like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is Dorish time of the Kra. Pasuk says, why can't you marry into the Shiva Umos? Ki Yasir is Bincha Me'acharai. That if you marry into the Shiva Umos, they're going to take your children and be Meisir them from the Avodas Hashem. So, L'chora, that implies to anybody who's Meisir, anyone who would lead your children astray, lead them away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's how Rabbi Shimon says, that's the Tam, and therefore we could be Doresh, that the Halacha applies equally. So that's what everyone asks. It's a stira in the Rambam. That the Rambam, on the one hand, paskins that there's no chilik between an almana that's nani and almana that's a shira, implying that he's not interested in time of the kra. And yet, when it comes to the Yisra Bia, he seems very interested in time of the kra. So how we matarits the Rambam? So the Chmishnah matarits that really the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Shimon. Really, the Rambam is Doresh time of the kra. That which the Rambam paskins by an almana, Rabbi Yehuda, that's because of what he writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos. That we're concerned that when it comes to take the mashkon, that it's going to be maybe the day kilkel. That even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds exactly what the Rambam says, the Rambam doesn't hold that way generally. Nevertheless, the Rambam says you have to be concerned about this because even though generally paskin like Rabbi Shimon that we're Dorish time of the Kra, still you shouldn't be mashkin bein Ashira bein Aniya because these are legitimate concerns to have that it's going to look bad when you go to her house, that it's going to be a chashash of znos when you go to the woman's house, regardless of whether it's she's an almana or an Aniya or an Ashira. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. We are on the last medium-sized line on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Last medium-sized line. Hani Shmona Asrei Minalan. We said that a woman is not allowed to have a king. Rather, is not allowed to have more than 18 wives. Where do we get the number 18? It seems like a very random number. Tichsiv Vayivaldu LeDavid Banim BeChevron. That David had children in Chevron. And let's take a look at the tally of who the children were in Chevron. Vayihi Becharo Amnon Machinoam HaYisraelis. That's so far one son, one wife. Umishneu Kilav Lavigai Elishus Nav. And that's two sons, two wives. Vashlishi Avshalom ben Macha, three sons, three wives. Arvi Adoniya ben Chagis, four sons, four wives. Vachamishi Shvatya ben Avital, again, five sons, five wives. Vashishi Yisraim leEgla Eishes David. And you have six sons, six wives. Ela Yoldul David beChevron. That's how many children David had in Chevron, and one son for each of six wives. Vekamrle Navi, and the Navi said to him, Im Ma'at Vosifalach. What was the Navi's promise to David? I'm going to give you Beis Adonecha and Ashe Adonecha Bechecha. I'm going to give you everything. And Ve'im Ma'at, if you have a little now, I'm going to add to you Kahena V'Kahena. So what do you see? Kahena Shis. Like you have already is another six. V'Kahena. And like you have already again is another six. The Havalu Timnisrei. So you're going to be left with 18 wives. Maskafla Ravina, Ima Kahina Tatisrei, Vichahina Esrinvarba. How do you know that when he says the second Kahina, it's not going on the first Kahina? Meaning, how do you know it's going back on the Iker? He starts with six, right? So you say, I'm going to double it twice. So what does that mean, I'm going to double it twice? Maybe it means that I'm going to double it, and then you're going to be left with 12, and then I'm going to double the 12, and you'll have 24. How do you know double it twice means I'm going to triple it? So Tani Namiyachi, we have a price that in fact says that it really means 24. That the Allah is a king, is allowed to have more than 18. He's not allowed to have more than 24 wives. Laman de Darsh Vav. And if you dash in the vav kahena v'chahena, then you double it again, and it's 48 wives that he's not allowed to have more than. Tani nam yachim. If Bryce said it says like that also, lo yarba l'nashim yosem yarba mushmona, that you can't be marba wives. What does it mean to be marba more than 48 wives? The tani did done my time. Now what's the reason for our tana? Why does our tana say 18? So Amar Rav Kahana makish kahena basra the kahena kama. He understands that the second kahena adds the same amount of wives as the first kahena. Kahena adds ma kahena kama shis afkena basra shis. Just like the first kahena added six wives, the second kahena adds six more wives. Frek the Gemara, but wait a second. It lists six wives, but we know that David had another wife at the time. Vahavai Michal. What do you do with Michal? He was certainly married to Michal before that. So Amarav Egla Zu Michal. He says, yeah, that was the last one. The Egla is Michal. When the pasuk says the sixth wife was Yisra'im, he had the sixth son was Yisra'im, La Egla, Eshes David, that's a reference to Michal. V'lama Nikrashma Egla, why would we call Michal a cow? Generally, women do not take that as a compliment. So Shechaviva Alav Ke'egla. No, she was as beloved to him as a cow. Generally, that's not taken as a compliment either, but nevertheless, that's that was apparently the expression. V'chenu Omer, Lulei Charashtem Be'eglasi. Right, that's the pasuk that's Lulei Charashtem Be'eglasi, referring to Michal, that the Egla is something that's very beloved and cherished. Umi have l'michal bani? In fact, the Gemara, but wait a second, did Michal have children? V'aksiv l'michal bashol lo haya lo vlad ad yom mosa. The pasuk says about Michal bashol that Michal bashol did not have a child until the day of her death. So you see that she didn't have any children. Amar Rav Chista answers, no. Ad yom mosa lo hayala, bi yom mosa hayala. She didn't have any children up until the day of her death. How do you think women died back then most of the time? They died when they had a child, right? They died in childbirth. So she died in childbirth. She had a child. She had a child on the day of her death. Frek the Gemara, let's see if that works out. Michti. Where are we counting off, listing off these six children that David had from the first six wives? The Chevron. That was when David was first Malach in Chevron, before he took his Malchus to Yerushalayim. V'ilu Maisa de Michal be Yerushalayim Hava. Now the whole story with Michal was in Yerushalayim, meaning the issue that Michal had was in Yerushalayim. That why was she punished to not have any children? It was because she had she got into a fight with David. She got into an argument with David about how David behaved in front of the Aron when they were bringing the Aron. So David was dancing wildly in front of the Aron, and Michal thought it was completely disrespectful for a king to be dancing wildly in the streets in front of the people that way. And that's part of, by the way, that's one of the strong maramakomos. So what we were discussing yesterday, the difference in personality between David and Shaul. We pointed out that Shaul is a tzaddik mishichmo l'malo mikol ha'am. As a tzaddik, he was heads and shoulders above everybody else. There's no questioning Shaul's tzidkus. The question was Shaul's personality as a king. David had the king's personality. One of the things a king needs to have is that he's not so interested, is not going to be obsessed with what other people think about him. Shaul was always concerned about how other people are going to perceive things. And that's why Michal, who's the daughter of Shaul, says to David, a king can't dance like that. What's everyone going to say? What are people going to think of you? And David's speech back to her, if you look in the Navi, it's unbelievable. David says to her, wait, you think I'm your father? I'm not your father. Your father's nothing. Why does he start talking about her father? What does her father have to do with anything? Why does he bring that? So, no, the point is that she was saying, I learned from my father how a king behaves. A king is always concerned about everybody else and what they're going to think of him and how he's going to be perceived. And David says, no, I'm not a king like your father. I'm a real king. I'm an independent man. I understand that I have power and that I'm going to do the right thing whether people like it or not. And that was David's personality. But at that point, because of that criticism, it seems, if you look at the Navi, that she was estranged from him for the rest of her life. So from that point forward, that was in Yerushalayim that the issue happened. It wasn't back in Chevron. That at that point, Micha lost the ability to have children, right? Says Rashi, Zehayu Piron Chetasa. This was the payment for her sin. Mashenichta Betzido Lo Haya Lovlad. And that's why it says for that sin she didn't have any children. Alma Meahu Maisa Veilach Lo Havala. Av Mekamiachti Ikal Meimud Havala. So it sounds the opposite of what we're saying. We were saying she didn't have any children until the last day of her life. But on the last day of her life she had children. No, it sounds like she didn't have any children from that day forward. But prior to that day she could have had children. Ella Ema, rather what we have to say is Ad Oso Maisa Hayala Mikan Ve'elach Lo Hayala. So that's the pshat, that of course she had children when she was in Chevron, but after that Maisa, that confrontation with David, from that point forward she didn't have any children. But wait a second, doesn't the Pasuk say that he took more Pilakshim and Nashim in Yerushalayim? So isn't that in addition to the Chahina V'Chahina? So doesn't that mean that he had more than 18? So answers Gemara, no, Limluyi, Shmona Esar. That's referring to filling in the number of 18. My Nashim, my Pilakshim. It refers to him taking Nashim and Pilakshim. What's the difference between Nashim and Pilakshim? Amar Avidam Rav, Nashim b'ksuba b'kiddushin, Pilakshim below ksuba below kiddushin. Nashim are women that you take with ksuba and kiddushin. Pilakshim are women that you take that are miyache to you, but without kiddushin and without ksuba. The Ramban asks famous kasha that if you hold ksuba is derabanan, so how can you say that the definition of the difference between Nashim and Pilakshim relates to ksuba? The difference between Nashim and Pilakshim is Stama, is the Daraisa Dika difference. So if the difference is about Ksuba, and Ksuba is only Drabanan, how could that be the difference between Nashim and Pilakshim? So that's a major kasha. Now, according to the Gemara, it's not a kasha, because the Gemara says that there's two differences, not only whether there's Ksuba, but also whether there's Kiddushin. So it could be that the Daraisa difference is whether there's Kiddushin, and then Midrabanan, there's another difference, whether there's Ksuba. But Rashi and Chumash says, Nashim b'Ksuba, Pilakshim below Ksuba. Rashi defines the difference as whether there's a Ksuba or not a Ksuba. The Ramban says you can't take that Girsa. You have to take the Girsa of our Gemara the way we have it. That it's not only about Ksuba, that it's about Kiddushin as well. The Rambam brings the Girsa of Rashi. Ram writes in Hilchos Ishus that a Boel Isha L'Shem Znus below Kiddushin Lo Kamei Torah, because he violated the Isser of Lo Siya Kadesha Mibnos Yisrael. And the Ravid says on that Rambam that Lo Siya Kadesha is only a woman who works for a living as a prostitute. She's mizumenus umufkeres the kaladam. But someone who's miyachid herself to one man, that's not an iser. He says, no, says the Ravid, if a woman is miyachid herself to one man, even without kiddushin, that's called pilagesh. And therefore, that's totally mutter. That's not going to be an iser. That's what we would call a pilagesh. So, pilakshim or mutter? Is it mutter? Is it aser? Is this a good thing, a bad thing? Rabbi Yaakov Emden famously had a long tshuva where he tried to explain why he thinks pilakshim could solve all the world's shalom bayis problems. Solve the shidduch crisis, I guess. I don't know. But he thought it was a good idea. Obviously, we don't pass in that way. I remember when I was in high school, there was a around that tkufa, there was some guy in Brooklyn started an organization where he was calling it the Shalom Bayis something, Shalom Bayis Hotline or something, and it was all about trying to set up Pilagshim, and you called up and it said our greatest scholars from we called up as a gag, we wanted to hear what it had to say, the greatest scholars in our history, from Rabbi Yaakov Emden to Rabbi Akiva, you know, like they jumped from like Rabbi Yaakov Emden all the way back to the Tanaim. That was a little curious. Thought that Pilagshim were a good idea and will solve Shalom Bayis problems, etc. Terrible, crazy thing. But anyway, so it does seem from certain Rishonim that the Rishonim thought that it was a good idea, that the Rishonim didn't that certain Rishonim thought that it might be mutter. It's a machlokas in the poskim in the Shulchan Aruch whether it's mutter or not. Mestama we paskin that it's aser to take pilakshim. Okay, Amar Avidam Rav. That's what the Rush says. The Rush says that the mitzvah, the Rush in Ksubas, when he talks about the mitzvah of getting married, so he says there's no mitzvah to get married, the mitzvah is pruruvu. And you don't tell me that the only way to do pruruvu is by getting married, like by shechita, right? The only way to eat kosher meat is by shechting, and therefore you make a bracha on the shechita, so the only way to have children is by getting married, and therefore you should make a birchas mitzvah on kiddushin. He says, not true. You can have children without getting married. You can have children with pilakshim. So that's a big tumult in the Nosei Kelim and the Rush. Does the Rush hold pilakshim mutter, or he's just saying theoretically you would get the mitzvah of Puravu if you took a Pilegesh, but not that it's actually mutter to take a Pilegesh. Okay, Amar Avida, it needs a much larger, longer treatment than we can give it now in the Daf Yomi, the issue of Pilakshim. Amar Avida Marav, Arba Meos Yiladim Hayulal David, V'kulub B'nei Yifas Tawar Hayu. David had 400 children, and they were all children of Yifas Tawar, of women that he took in war. And they all grew below Rios. What are below Rios? So the Gemara in Sota tells us, the Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Tes, that there's a certain type of haircut that's a violation of Darkei Hamori, that it's considered to be Darkei Hamori to get a certain type of haircut. Rashi in Sota explains that the Amori people had a hairstyle as a way, a certain hairstyle as a way of showing an allegiance to their Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Kiddushin in Vav and Beis says, and here Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph, that David HaMelech had 400 battalion chiefs who all were Megadli Belorios, and the assumption is that they wore that hairstyle because they were B'nai Yifas Tawar, and they came from a different place, and they were trying to show their affinity for non-Jewish practices of their heritage, that that's not something that they learned in David's house. So it's an Isser to be Megadli Belorios. Now, idol worshippers nowadays generally don't have that kind of hairstyle. Tashbetz writes in the Tshuva, but nevertheless, even in our times, a Jew should not have a hairstyle of Megadli Belorios. Now, it's a big machlokas in the Rishonim, what the hairstyle looked like exactly. Rashi, in Kiddush Nayin Vav, in Avodah Zarah Daf Ches, Sotah Mem Tes, Baba Kama Pei Gimel, says that the haircut involved shaving the front of the head and growing the back of the hair very long. And Rashi, Lechora, wouldn't object to having long front of the hair. That's not the Yisr. The Rambam, in Chesav Avodah Zarah, Perikid Aleph, Halacha Aleph, says that no, that it's also, not only is Rashi's hairstyle Darkei Emori, but he says, he talks about, in general, the ways of doing like the non-Jews, and he says a person shouldn't make his hairstyle like non-Jewish hairstyle. You shouldn't shave the sides of your head and leave the hair in the middle, nor shave the front of the head and grow the hair in the back. So apparently the Rambam holds that it's also Megadli Belorios is growing the front of the head, that shaving off the sides and growing the front. So that's the Shaila. Is growing the front Megadli Belorios, even if you don't shave the sides, or it's Dafka, the contrast, when you shave the sides and grow the front of the head. So the Beis Yosef says that it's only in growing the top of the hair and shaving the side. If you only do one without the other, says the Beis Yosef, that's not called Megadli Belorios. The Bach writes in Kufayin Ches in Yerodea, he doesn't agree with how the Beis Yosef reads the Rambam. He says the Rambam would say that it's Aser, even to grow long bangs without shaving the sides of the head. So the Bach says growing a long chup in the front of the head, which you know, a lot of yeshiva Bachrim do, would be an Iser of Megadli Belorios. Now Ravad Yosef in Yechav Adas, Simon Bays discusses this, and he says it's very difficult to aser growing long hair on the grounds of Chukas Akum Megadli Belorios, because it could be that we pass on like Rashi, that the Isser is only when you grow in the back, not when you grow in the front. And even if we pass on like the Rambam, it could be we pass on like the Beis Yosef, that it's only if there's a contrast, if you shave off the side and grow the front. So he says, I can't aser long bangs, but he says, I can at least discourage it. So Rabbi Yosef said, at least I can tell you that I don't think it's nice. I don't think it's something that a Ben Torah should do. And he uses a play on words from Megillas Rus. He says, Vayomer lekotzrim Hashem imachem. Someone who has short hair, Hashem imachem. Hashem is with you if you're a kotzer, if you have short hair. Okay, if you cut your hair. So Vekulan Yoshin Bekrono Shalzav, and all these Megadli Belorios, all of these 400 children of David would ride in wagons of gold, Mahalchim Brashag Yasusayu, and they were battalion chiefs. Vehema Yubal, they grew up in Shalbeis David, they were the strong men of the house of David. Vamar Vilamarav, Tamar Bas Yifas Tor Raisa. Tamar was the daughter of Yifas Tor. Shnemar Vata Dabar Na Amelech Ki Lo Yimne Eini Mimecha. Because Tamar said to Amnon, you want to sleep with me, why don't you just ask our father, ask David, I'm sure he won't stop you. V'yishal Kadai Tuch Bas Nisun Havai Achti Mi Avashayilei. But wait a second, if Tamar was really his sister, so how could she say, yeah, I'm sure dad won't have a problem with you sleeping with me, just ask him. What do you mean? If they were brother and sister, of course David would have a problem with it. How could she say such a thing? El Shemar Mina Bas Yifas Tor. So it must be that they weren't related, that she was a Bas Yifas Tawar. Ula Amnon Rea Ushmo Yonadav Ben Shima Achi David Ishchacham. Amnon had a friend, Yonadav, who was a very wise man. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav Ishchacham Larisha. He was an evil genius, meaning he was a wise man, and he came up with great advice to achieve whatever goal Amnon wanted, but Amnon's goal was an evil goal. So Yonadav thought of a terrible idea. It was a great idea, but it was a terrible idea. Right, so it's going through the whole story that Yonadav tells Amnon, you want Tamar, you want her so badly, here's what you should do. You should pretend that you're sick, and then she's going to come and serve you. Dov is going to send her to to take care of you. She's going to make for you foods. She made mine tigun, fried foods. Vayisnei Amnon sinu gadol mod. And then Amnon has her alone in the room. He rapes her. And then, right after he rapes her, the pasuk says he has this horrible hatred for her. Well, where did that hatred come from? He was lovesick with her up until now. Why does all of a sudden he hate her? So my time, Amr Rav Yitzchak Nima Nikshrala Vasok. Something went wrong in the Maisa Bia where there was a hare that caught him and made him a krus shivcha, cut off his aver. But still, why does he hate her? I mean, I can understand it's upsetting that he became a krus shivcha, but what does that have to do with her? No, she did it. She didn't like what he was doing, so she took a hair and tied it around him and made it a krus shivcha. Eini v'hadar shav v'maydach zaviyetzil chasham begayim biafyeich she'elem l'bnoi shal lo seir beis ha'shech v'lo beis ha'erva. So frankly, but wait a second, isn't one of the characteristics of Benos Yisrael is that they shave off all the Beis Ha'erva, that they have no hair, ba'osamakom, they don't have pubic hair in that place. So how is it possible that a hair is what chapped him? So says Gemara, no, shiny tamar debasi fas Torah vai. Just like the men kept their hairstyles on their head, the megadli beloris, the women who were benosi fas Torah kept the practices of that they had from the whatever countries they came from, where they did have seir besa erva. That's what the achronim deal with. They ask, wait a second, if that was really the minhag that they didn't have seir besa erva, how would they ever know when a girl is a gedola? It's shtei saros determines whether she's a gedola. So the truth is, pashtus is that when she had to start shaving it, that was probably when she was a gadola, right? That was the easy way to tell. Vatikach Tamar Efer al Rosha, and Tamar took Efer al Rosha, hapasim asher alev kara, and she tore her clothing. So meaning she went in mourning over what happened to her. She was raped, so she mourned publicly over what Amnon had done to her. So Tana Mishmed Rabbi Shubin Karcha Geder Gadol Gadra Tamar Baal Sasha. Tamar's behavior and what happened to Tamar caused for a tremendous new din to be instituted at that moment. Amru, because they said, wait a second, the Benos Malachim Kach, the Benos Adiotis, Lachs Kama Kama, if something like this could happen to a princess, then it could happen to anybody. Im Letznuos Kach, Leprutus Lachs Kama Kama. If something like this could happen to a Nashim Tznuos, to such tznuistical women like Tamar, so to Prutzos all the more so. Both Tamars in Tanakh were women who were tremendously Nashim Tzidkaniyos. They were wonderful, wonderful people, and both of them had miserable, miserable things happen to them. They both had these miserable lives. So Rav Shechter once said that he doesn't know if he would name a daughter Tamar, even though it's a very commonly used name. He said it's just like they were both Nashim Tzidkaniyos and wonderful, but they both had such miserable, miserable lives. Amru b'dam Rav, Bosa Sha'a, Gozru al Hayichud v'al Apnuya. At that moment, there were gozer on Yichud and on a Pnuya. So, affecting Mark, at that moment, there were gozer on Yichud. Yichud d'oraisa, who? Yichud is din d'oraisa. Dam Rabbi Yochum Mishur Mishur Min Yosach, Remez Yichud Min HaTorah Minayin. Where do we have a remez for Yichud Min HaTorah? Shnemar, ki yisizcha achicha, ben imecha. Pasuk says, when your brother, the son of your mother, leads you astray, when your maternal brother leads you astray. What? V'chi ben eim mesis, ben av enu mesis? What? Only your maternal brother will lead you astray? Your paternal brother won't. Elomer l'cha notes to tell you ben misyachinim mimo ve'ein acher misyachinim kol harayah shebetorah. The Torah juxtaposes the words ben and imo to tell you that when you have ben and imo together alone, that's okay. But any other arayos that are together alone is not okay. So you see that the Yisra of Yichud is Nisra min HaTorah. Aye, but the pasuk isn't even talking about Yichud. It's not even talking about a mother and a son being alone. It's talking about Mesis. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything. So that's why probably the lashon that's used is remez liyichud min haTorah. That yes, it is a remez, meaning it's not a drasha gemura, but Yichud is still min haTorah. Mistama, it's halacha l'moshe misinai or something, that this isn't a real drasha gemura. It doesn't sound like a drasha gemura. You're taking two random words in the Torah, saying, oh, if those two words are together, are juxtaposed to each other, it must be that those two people are allowed to be alone, but nobody else is allowed to be alone together. It's a very unusual drasha. Try to figure out which one of the Yudgim Midos, Shatar and Dreshes Behen, fits that drasha. Very, very difficult. So probably it relates to the fact that Yichud is Doraisa, halacha l'moshe misinai. We have a remez from a pasuk in the Torah. So but bottom line is, it is a din d'oraisa. Ela'im agazru al yichud b'pnuya. So you have to say that no, not that they were gozer on yichud. Yichud was d'oraisa. They were gozer on yichud with a single girl. V'adoniyah ben chagis misnase lemar ani amloch. Amr Rav Yidom Rav. Adoniyah says, I'm going to be the king. So Rav Yidom Rav says, melamit shabikish l'ham v'lo halamto. He tried to put on the crown of David and it didn't go on his head, because that Rashi explains that the crown had a bar right in the middle of it, around right across it, and people from the Malchus Beis David had a indentation in their skull where the crown fit, and if you didn't have that indentation in the skull, it was a simon that you weren't roy to become a king. So he tried to stick the crown. I don't know why he didn't just have the bar cut, but he tried to stick the crown on and it didn't work. And he had chariots and horses and horsemen and 50 runners in front of him. 50. So it says in my Rabusa, for a king, 50 is nothing. Why are we showing off that he's got 50 runners? Some Rav Yudam Rav, Kulan Itule Tchul V'chukei Kapos Ragayim Hayu. No, these weren't just regular runners. These were runners whose spleens were removed and whose feet were desensitized so that they could run on thorns and run on anything. Apparently, without a spleen, a person could run faster. The spleen weighs a person down. And apparently, when they I don't know what they did to their feet, but when they do something to their feet that they shouldn't feel anything, they're able to run much faster. So these were a very special kind of runners. That was unusual, to have 50 people willing to get their spleens taken out. So, okay. Lo yarbalo susim elikadei markafto. King's not allowed to have more horses than he needs for his chariots. V'kesef izav lo yarbalo ma'od elikadei liten aspanya. And he shouldn't hoard gold and silver. He's got to just give it to pay for his employees, for his army. The kosev of sefer Torah l'shmo, and he has to write a sefer Torah specifically for himself. Yosef l'mecham motzi ima. When he goes out to war, he brings his Torah with him. Nichnasu machnis imo. When he comes back in, he brings the sefer Torah with him. Yoshev b'din he imo. When he sits in din, sefer Torah is with him. Meisav u'kenegdo shenemar. When he sits, when he's leaning, the Sefer Torah has always got to be there. Wherever he is, the Sefer Torah goes with him. Tanur Abanan lo yarbalo susim yachla. If you look at the Markavto Prashav, the Torah says he shouldn't have too many horses. I might think he can't even have enough for his chariots. Tamalomar lo. Lo ein omar ba'av mabru k'de richvo Prashav. It says, no, personally he can't have too many horses, but what he needs for the chariots of the king, he can have as many as he wants. Hamani mekayim susim. What do I do with the word susim then? Susim abatanim. He can't have extra susim that aren't doing anything. How do I know that if he has even a single extra horse that he doesn't need, that that's a violation of lo yarba? Unlike by the wives, lo yarba means not to have 18. By the horses, lo yarba means don't have one that you don't need. Right, you shouldn't be like Jay Leno collecting all these cars that he doesn't need. You know, you take what you need and that's it. So leman harbo sus v'chimiachad afilu sus echad v'hu batel kayib lo yarba susim lamali. But if it's even one horse that's already violation of lo yarba, why does it say susim in the plural? So lavra belosa say al kol sus v'sus, to tell you that every additional horse that he has that he doesn't need is a new isadar isa. Time of the Kasav Rachman low halav havamina filu k'day richva prashav nami low. So it's only because it said the word low. Had it not said the word low, I would think that he's not even allowed to have for his chariots. So it says more lo tzrich lafushe. No, it means that I would think he's not allowed to have extra ones for his chariots that his chariots doesn't really need. Meaning Rashi says two deos: either to just expand his chariots more than is necessary for military prowess, or that sometimes you have one horse and you bring another horse to switch off between the two to give one a rest, that he shouldn't do. The kesef izav lo yarbalo k'delitin aspanya. He shouldn't have more gold and silver. He should only have enough to give to pay his army. Tanur Rabban, the kesef izav lo yarbalo. He shouldn't have too much kesef izav. Yachla filu k'delitin aspanya. I might think he can't even have enough to pay his army. Tamalomer lo. Lo ein omar ba'al marbu k'delitin aspanya. He can't have too much for himself, but to pay for his army, he can. Time in the kesef rachman lo. Halav achiyav mina filu k'delitin aspanya. Low. Wait a second, had the Torah not said the word low, I would think he couldn't pay his army? No, not to pay them very high wages, I would have thought. Now that I have the word low, it tells me that you could pay them very high. But now that we're saying the word low is always there to use for a drasha, lo yarbe, lo nashim, my drashtabe. What do we do with the low in the pasuk lo yarbe, lo nashim? Lemutei adiotos. That comes to tell me to exclude a regular guy, that a regular guy can have as many wives as he wants. It's only a king who's not allowed to have more than 18 wives. Rav Yudah Rami, ksiv, ayhilu shlomo ha-melech farvel susim l'merkavto. It says that Shlomo ha-melech had 40,000 horses, uksiv, ayhilu shlomo ha-bas alafim susim, and on the other hand, says he had 4,000 ha-ketzad. Imar ba-melech it's tablos, hayu kalech ve'echad, hayu bo-dalet alafim arvel susim. If he had 40,000 stables, each stable had 4,000 horses. V'imdalet alafim it's tablos, hayu kalech ve'echad, hayu bo-melech arvel susim. And if he had 4,000 stables, then each stable had 40,000 horses. So how many horses did he have? 40,000 times 4,000. Rabbi Yitzchak Rami, Ksiv Ein Kasev Nachshav Bimei Shlomo L'Umma. It says on the one hand that money was so plentiful in the days of Shlomo, it was considered like it was worth nothing. Uksiv Vayitin Shlomo Asa Kasev Yushlayim Kavanim. And on the other hand, it says that money in the times of Shlomo was like stones, worth very little, but worth something. So Lo Kasha, Kan Kodim Shnas Shlomo's Bas Paro, Kan Lach Shnas Shlomo's Bas Paro. Before he married Bas Paro, there was a certain amount of wealth. Once he married Bas Paro, there was even more wealth in the country, and therefore money became worth nothing. Amr Yitzchak B'Shas Shnas Shlomo's Bas Paro, Gavriel, Vinat Kana, Biyam, Vehela Sirtan, Valav Nimna, Krak Adal Shabaromi. When Shlomo Melch married Bas Paro, Gavriel, the Malach, came down, took a reed, stuck it in the sea, and on that the greatest city of Rome was built. Vam Rabitzik, Nemalon is Galutame Torah. Why are the reasons for the Torah never revealed to us? Rashi says, why does the Torah never tell us why it is, for instance, that we're not allowed to wear shatness? Why it is we're not allowed to eat pork? Why does the Torah just tell us that it's us and never tells us why it's us? Shari Shem across in Galutame, because there are two places that the Torah decided to tell us the reason for something, and in both of those places a Gadol Olam stumbled. Ksiv lo yarbe lo nashim, it says lo yarbe lo nashim. Amar Shlomo ani arbe v'lo asur. Shlomo says, I can have as many wives as I want, nothing's going to happen to me. Uksiv ayhi le'esik na Shlomo nashav hitu es levavo. And sure enough, something did happen to him. It didn't quite work out for him. His woman led his heart astray. When he was young, he was right. He was going to be able to stand up to it. But he got a little older, and he wasn't able to stand up to it anymore. Uksiv lo yarbe lo susim, it says you shouldn't have too many horses. Vamar Shlomo ani arbe v'lo ashiv. And Shlomo Amel said, I can have as many horses as I want. It's not going to lead me back to Mitzrayim. There's just a story in the Times yesterday, I think, about how they're rebuilding synagogues in Mitzrayim, in Egypt now. So that's not a good thing for the Jews, right? We're not supposed to go to Mitzrayim. So he says, there are only like a dozen Jews in Mitzrayim anyway. But he says, I'm going to have as many horses as I want. It's not going to lead me back to Mitzrayim. Uksiv. And sure enough, it leads him back to Mitzrayim. So you see that it didn't quite work out. That's why the Torah doesn't give us reasons, because we're going to have the confidence to think that the reasons don't apply to us. Okay.